Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, people, so we're back again. Another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. Yes, sir. We're missing one of our
peeps.
Yeah, our woman power. Danny's here alone.
Don't worry.
I know. Danny's here alone.
You gotta put out that energy. Here.
Let's do it.
We're gonna bombard you, man. Anyways, Wicho Medina here, your host tonight with my co-host, which, why are you crying?
Wiping my eyes, man. Wiping my eyes. You know what? I don't know. I got dry eyes or something, and now they got all watery all of a sudden. I don't know why.
So they're not dry anymore?
No.
Technically, they're not.
Maybe I'm not. Am I blinking a lot?
Yeah.
I still am?
Yeah.
Shit. Well, it's not working then.
Yeah. No, shit. Anyways, Campos, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Good, good. You know, just enjoying the day, man. Enjoying the day.
Other than dry eyes, everything else good?
Everything's perfect.
Business?
Great.
Yeah?
Coming back.
How's the industry doing for you right now, man?
You know what? On the retail side, it's been a little slow.
Yeah.
On the flipping side, so we got a couple of things in the pipeline. Started utilizing a different lead source. So we got a couple of things that we're in talks with right now, but nothing under contract yet. Nothing solid yet.
Okay.
But the we're working.
Pipeline's working.
Yeah, the pipeline's working.
Right. That's key. That's key, man. Danny.
What's up, beautiful people?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
That's going to be my
catchphrase. Opening.
Yes. What's up? What's up? Yeah. What's up? Yeah.
So how you doing?
I'm doing great, as always, working nonstop, looking for a bunch of new leads coming up. Yeah. You know, foreclosures are there. They're popping up like popcorn.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But so business working, moving along?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
So
that's cool. And you just went to a mentorship here not too long ago.
Oh, I'm starting another one. Actually, I think this week it's going to be, and it's a great one. You know, nothing to do with our topic today, but you just had Gamino the other day, and it's funny because I'm working in the mentorship to raising capital. Mm-hmm. You know how to be a pro on that topic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always good to have deeper pockets or, you know, great connections.
Right.
And know where you're going to fit everybody.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Yep, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Well, with so many opportunities coming along, you know, our topic today is identifying motivated sellers and distressed properties. And when you do indeed find those leads, that's where you need all that capital, right?
Yes, capital. Opportunities. Be ready.
Be ready, because the way the industry is moving right now, I mean, it's going to... I think that fan is already spinning and I don't want to say the rest.
But something's flying at it,
something's
right?
Something's flying at it. It's going to splatter, you know?
Smelling
so,
weird.
Yeah, make sure you open your eyes and close your mouth.
Or wear glasses, huh? Wear glasses.
Oh, goodness.
My God. You guys are fucking crazy. Anyways,
that's
I can't believe
partners.
I just said that.
Oh, my God.
But no, we got to get that blood flowing, right? It's been a long day.
Yes, indeed.
Seems like days are getting a little warmer now.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in here again.
Yeah. Dude, another. I'm so sorry. Management, can you fix the AC?
Right?
Like, shit. God, man. Anyways, Danny, you got a quote there for us?
I do. Our quote tonight, I always like to start with a quote. And today the quote is, I will forever believe that buying a home, it's a great investment. Why? Because you can't live in stock certificate, or you cannot live in mutual funds. Oprah Winfrey. How good was that?
Oh, shoot.
I thought...
I think she was saying mutual funds.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey.
I mean, it can help you to buy the properties, but you cannot live inside the paper. That's
there
it.
You cannot. Go. There you go.
Yeah. Yes. I remember one of my mentors used to say, you can't eat bricks. You cannot eat bricks, you know?
Yeah, you can.
That's true.
Break your teeth.
It's like you can buy property, but if you don't buy it right, you can't eat the brick. You're still going to make money.
That's true.
You know, so, but yeah, that's a long quote. But it is a very true quote. You cannot live inside a stock certificate, and you cannot live inside a mutual fund.
No, you can't.
Right? Nope.
Not at all. So, yeah, I mean, property investments are the way to go.
Yeah. At least the most securest, I think, especially with market and so many different shifts, so much going on.
Man, it is. It is. It really is. I was just
fluctuating.
Reading. An article a little earlier, just, you know, talking about how retail sales are stalling and pricing is dropping. I mean, in some areas it's still pretty good, but
yeah,
prices are starting to drop.
You know? Yeah, but even, you know, stocks or crypto and all that stuff, it was sky high a month ago or so, and then now it's
last couple of weeks everything's been down.
Yeah, it's like fucking crazy, man. But nothing like a home.
Volatility. Volatility. Whatever.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. We're never going to get through this one.
Oh, goodness. That was cool. I'm still learning English.
Okay, cool. So it.
We got the giggles, man.
We got the giggles today. It was that smoke was good. No, come on, bring it in. Bring
all
it
right,
in, guys.
Good night, people.
Okay, so talking about distressed properties, a distressed property is defined as real estate that's either physically neglected or financially burdened, or both, right? The way we look at real estate investing, we take it a notch further, because it's not so much that the burden has to be so much on the structure or the property itself, but then that of the owner of the structure sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That motivation for the owner to sell the property. Guys, shine some knowledge on this.
I mean, from the perspective of the distressed property or the distressed owner? Because probably both, right?
Right.
I mean, some of that is because the property would be going through pre-foreclosure.
Yep.
That's a lot of stress on the homeowner.
Yeah.
And they're carrying, you know, as we kind of say in our community, carrying the monkey on their back, right? Yeah. And they're looking for some relief, you know, somebody to help get that monkey off their back. Yeah, so I mean that's where we come into play.
Right? Yeah. So, but even before the property's in pre-foreclosure, there's already some circumstance, kind of, you know, tampering there. with the finances of the individual that controls that mortgage payment.
Right. In fact, we were door knocking. Was it last week? Last week, and we came across a property, and it sucks because the home is in pre-foreclosure. Because the provider of, you know, the sole provider for the family is in the hospital.
Wow.
He's been in the hospital now for, I think they said 2 months.
No.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, it kind of sucks. It's a sucky situation for them, man. And so they're looking for some kind of relief or trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah, right? That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea has been to figure out how to help them get past it. You know what I mean? So we've had a couple of conversations with them, but like anything, they're very standoffish, you mm-hmm. know? But then the other side of it too, the property is really under distress. I mean, it needs a lot of work. There's a lot of junk in the yard and stuff like that. So it's kind of a twofer for them, you know, mm-hmm. It sucks.
Wow. You know what I have been seeing a lot? Not a lot, but I saw actually a lot, way more common than it was before. A lot of lemmings. Being pulling, when you talk about the distressed property, not exactly about the seller, but you're going to start looking. It's a point that it bring it up then to foreclosure. Mm-hmm. In 80 leads that I pulled last week, on that 80 leads, I think at least 15 leads has utility liens. Wow. I never saw that many.
Wow.
I never noticed that many.
Yeah.
And now you're just coming like, and then you go to the door, right? You look at the property and there is a distress apparently on the property. Mm-hmm. Of course, the seller might have their reasons and that's going to be the other side. But when you're looking on distressed properties, I'm also actually starting to look out the liens because they're coming up. I believe there is court liens. There is, you know, the utility liens that it's defining the property as distressed, mm-hmm. that I didn't see before. I don't know if that is, not that I don't know, probably some of them are HOA utility liens. And other kind of liens that are coming up and showing the properties on the radar for foreclosures. Mm. And I didn't notice them before. That is just getting a little different. Yeah, it is. Could it be
solar?
No, they are not solar.
I've seen a lot of those.
They're not solar. They're not solar.
But she's right, because I have seen a lot more foreclosures popping up, mm-hmm. that I've been seeing. And a couple, at least in the ones that I've been looking at, I was going to kind of... Hey, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Because I saw that a couple of utility liens as well. At least from what I've seen, nothing major. But then again, I wasn't really looking. But now that you say that.
No, I have been looking deeper on that. And even today when I was skip tracing, it's one of the ways to contact the owner, mm-hmm. or do so. I saw that the property was in foreclosure, was on court, right? They had the court dates. And now it was HOA case on, mm-hmm. that one. And now it's coming, the companies that go after you, the
collection,
and the collection is foreclosing the properties through the HOA. I'm just like, oh, okay. So it's just one more thing that's happening that I didn't know. Before, but I do. People doesn't like to look condominiums. I do like it. Mm-hmm. I think every opportunity is opportunity to find, mm-hmm. a different way, right? To get on that distressed property, on that, mm-hmm. on that opportunity on your hands, right?
Yeah. So
it's things that are appearing more than before, appealing my name. They're calling my name, like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you got me thinking, because there's so many programs, still active programs, for people that are still having difficulties keeping up with their utilities due to the past previous COVID.
Yeah, I think they're coming, popping
issues.
Up.
So I don't know. I don't know. That's crazy. But yeah, at the end of the day, we're not part of that story.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're not part of that story. We just know that in that story, there's a new circumstance or a new classification of circumstances that can put the owner of that property under that distress.
Yep.
Right. And then some people out there who live paycheck to paycheck, mm-hmm. some of them, you know, they bring enough into their household to check the box, just enough, right? They don't dine out. Ever since I've been door knocking and talking to people about circumstances, it always takes me back to when I was a kid, where me and my four siblings had to share a bag of cereal. We didn't get each and every one of us our favorite cereal or our favorite cereal box. We had to share, you know, like the Cheerios or the Fruit Loops, which were bootlegged, but but it was a huge bag that would last like a good month. and then the next one would get the chocolate flavor. So what I'm trying to say is some people live by that. Some people live by that, and they don't have that extra mattress money to cover that weed abatement lien or that utility lien or any other encumbrance against the title of the property or the individual for that matter by a judgment. And then they don't know what to do, and they hide, and then they just let that thing grow into a fucking ugly ass monster that they could never control ever again.
Yeah.
And they end up losing their home.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does. It sucks. But, you know, I mean, I guess there's no good but out of that. You know what I mean? It does suck. But, I mean, it's just a shitty situation to be in.
It's a shitty situation. You know, I remember one of my coaches used to tell me, then don't be in that situation. I'm like, what? Whoa. Wait a minute. You're telling me, like, if I'm in a situation, if I'm in a circumstance, if I'm going through a circumstance, then, and you're telling me don't be there. I don't get it. He's like, well, yeah, do whatever it takes to not be there. You're not doing enough. You're not pushing yourself enough to get out of there. So you're there by choice. I'm like, what? No. But he's absolutely right. So that when you bring that into the business of real estate investing, and then you see, yeah, this guy with the provider in the hospital, we can't be part of that story. Right. We can be empathetic to the story, but we cannot position ourselves in that, because you know what? If you do wholeheartedly, you'll probably end up paying the arrearages, bringing the property current, and then paying their bills, getting them out of the situation, and most likely they'll fall into it again.
I already did all that,
man. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, in this business, just like in the distress of probate, when somebody passes, I remember a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do that because somebody just died. Well, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
That's the business.
It's the business. So you have 100%. To detach yourself from the emotional side and then just know that by logics, somebody's already out there looking for this, all these leads.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, I mean, so what are some of the points here that some of the bullet points that maybe tattletales that indicate some distress in some of the property? You want to go through them, Danny?
Oh, the foreclosure, it's one, right? When you look the property, you're going to look, if you look outside the property, let's say the physical of the property, you're going to see maybe peeling paint, overgrass, growing. Sometimes you can see that there is no, the water, it's cut. There's going to be no currently water or electrical. You can see from the outside that it's nothing going through the house. The collections, I mean, landscaping, all those little boards on the windows, probably should be something more like vacant, right? But it means that there's opportunity as well.
Yeah.
There is always overgrass. It's one of the most common, but when you go there, just don't be confused because people might still be living over there. So
yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trash cans, it's one good one. Sometimes there is a lot of cars on the sidewalk, not sidewalk, on the
driveway.
Driveway, full of spider webs there. That's a good one too. Sometimes newspapers on the driveway as well. Yeah. Bunch of old papers.
Piled up, yeah.
Yeah, they start pile up. You can see notes on the door, you know.
Yeah.
There is a bunch of things when you look for distressed properties that can help you.
Expired tags on those.
Those cars?
Web cars.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to skip trays and then eventually end up at the house, I would go into the trash cans and see if there was any fresh remnants of lunch or dinner or whatever, you know? And then sometimes I would just find some, you know, hamburgers and fries. I'm like, fuck it, lunch. No, but with maggots and stuff, you know, with signs that they've been there for a while, nobody's been
in the house
piling up any more new trash or any of that. But yeah, all these are indicators of the distress on the property. But what about some of the indicators of distress on sellers, on homeowners? What makes them motivated sellers?
If they open the door screaming to you, run. They are under distress.
Oh, man, you just had something like that happen, huh?
Oh, I did. Oh, goodness.
So you're going to follow, you had some aggressive encounter with another lady, right? The homeowner,
yeah,
you were saying.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
So you came to door knock with one of the students?
One of the students. The student was, he was pale.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. She was like, okay, let me see. I was just like, okay, the info is here. And, you know, I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
I'm not being impolite. And she just pulled the paper and just slapped the door. I was just like, whoa, calm down.
Wow.
You know, and get out. And she opened the door. And that was like, she's opening the door. We was just like, you want to talk with us? Or, no, get out. And then she closed, and then she opened it then. I was just like, do you want to talk or you want me to leave? And you know, it gets, but it's totally distress.
Yeah.
You can see the person, it's under distress, and they are on that denial phase.
Right.
Actually, I mean, you can be under distress and still talk, right? Yeah. It's not.
Everybody takes it differently, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand, just like you say, don't become part of the problem. Right?
Yeah.
Stay there. I'm trying to get on the door so you can bring solutions.
Right. Be a solution. Yeah.
Not
so
another
what's
problem.
Your follow-up strategy to that? Are you following up with that? Or
never go back.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Now, on that case, I think it's really going to be complicated to follow up once the person is really on that stage. Like, on that.
Well, you want me to give you a tip?
Yeah, you can go back.
you send a new face.
Yeah, you can go back.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, go in a different way. Use another strategy, and that's exactly what I have on my mind. Send you next, but no, it's true. Just take a time, take it easy. Yeah. I usually wait 2 weeks. Take a look again on the radar.
What's the timeline on the when was it recorded? Do you remember all those details or no?
It was recorded last month, so we still have a little time to go. Yeah. It is not, it's NLD, not NTS, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, because it's important for all of, you know, listeners out there, if you're door knocking a property, there is a very, very strict timeline.
Yeah.
And if you go there, you know, out of the 90 days, if you go the 30th day and they're already under that distress and in that denial mode, it means you know, we were talking about this earlier, Campos, with one of the students. You not only have to teach them, but unteach them.
Yeah.
Right? So now this homeowner, not only do you have to direct them in a new way, but before you even get there, you have to be able to unwind them from all that distress.
Yeah.
And then open their eyes to new possibilities of you contributing to the betterment of their situation.
Yeah.
Right. So in my eyes, every time somebody screams at you, yells at you, is rude to you, it's only that much more louder how much help they need.
Yeah, that exactly.
You know, so I would follow up. I would look with a different strategy, multiple different strategies. One of them's going to work. And then just get across that fine line where they don't accept anything. Because people that are in denial, unwinding them from that and being able to offer them the safety, right? They already decided that they're under attack.
Yeah.
Right? They're under attack. Anybody that talks to them with anything pertaining to real estate whatsoever, not even their fucking address, any address, you can call, you know, about, you know, the Trump Tower, whatever you want to talk about, anything pertaining to property, they're going to feel some sort of like tension.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to get them out of that area, put them into safety before you start introducing your strategy. Right.
Yeah. That and that can be difficult. Right?
Very.
I'm
it's not for everybody.
No. So I had a lady I went to go talk to one day. And I recommend always have a partner, because in this case I was by myself. And I mean, just as soon as I knocked on the door and asked for who I was looking for, and it was one of those, you ever see those little things, at that moment, you know, he fucked up, you know, that was me, because normally every time I go to the door, I always start off with like an icebreaker, a joke or whatever, you know what I mean? And in this case, I just directly asked for the person, and she's like, who are you? I was like, oh, my name is Steve. She's like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, well, are you so-and-so? And she's like, you know what, mother? And just laid in. I mean, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, miss, man, this is my first time ever coming here. You're an effing liar. You've been calling me. I'm like, whoa, relax. You know, literally chased me off her porch with the damn dog. You know what I mean? Wow. Like, and I was just like, all right, you know? And I was just like, man, whoever the hell's calling this lady is doing a bad job, man. Because she was saying that I was calling her, that I've been calling her and bothering her.
Unless his name was Steve. Well,
right, you know?
Yeah.
It could be,
then
right?
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, you exactly. Show up. Exactly. So, yeah, needless to say, though, I did not go back just because I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to get eaten by the dog. So I just kind of let that one go. But there is, you know, I've come across those before with the partner.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little easier when you have a second person to kind of step in. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry to bother, you know, and then kind of reverse that conversation from and take them down from that heated, you know, that that heat, that stress that they're under. And then kind of bring them down a little bit. It's easier to me. It's a little easier when you have that second person that can help with that versus being by yourself and literally getting chased off the fucking porch.
Yeah. I personally love those. I love, because it gives you a clean white canvas to be able to create, you know, once you line them up and in once you take them out of their denial mentality and bring them to reality, then, you know, I always talk about this, the consumership, the consumer safety, right? The bag of chips. Once they saw that bag of chips is inflated and the chips are not expired and they're there, the product is what they expect, then they're going to enjoy those chips. They're going to buy, you know, they're going to, oh my God, savor them. That's, I personally like those. I personally like people that are in denial. Because when you fix the problems, it becomes invaluable to them.
Yeah.
Then they don't mind you making 10, 20, 30 grand. They just don't. You know, because you can't, I mean, I'll say it in full disclosure, when we talk about the monkey, it's not an actual fucking monkey on your back. You know?
You're walking into the
zoo. It's an imaginary monkey pulling on their ears and you know, sticking their finger up their nose and poking their eyes every now and then, and they can't get it off. But then when you are a creative problem solver and you specialize in getting rid of these ugly monkeys, they're grateful for that. And then they say, you know what, Danny, thank you for that. I think the next natural step is for me to sell my house. You made me realize that this is not the best. It's not in my best interest to keep it. And I want to give you a shot. And that's it.
Yeah. It's the follow-up.
It's the follow-up.
The follow-up.
And
the
how follow-up. You follow-up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so...
Well, that's one.
That's one.
That's one.
That's one of your door knocks.
Well, that is one way that you know that seller is going to be motivated at certain point, right? Yeah, they don't move from that situation, of course, at certain point, you're going to start finding motivated sellers for a circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to identify them. You either identify them through... I don't know, a mailing list or a mailing campaign, postcards, or door knocking, calling, and just be aware, refer, you know, look on the court. Maybe it's an inherit property they don't want to care about. They need to move. They need to, that it's so many ways they might, when you're talking about motivate sellers.
Yeah.
It's easier to work with someone that don't have that attachment, right? That love for the property.
Yeah.
Those people that we work, that might be good opportunity also at certain point when they are not in denial are going to be motivate sellers. That still have that attachment for the property, it's more complicated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need to be comfortable to get screw on the door if you want to work with that.
Yep.
You know, you need to know that the next door you are going to be putting yourself in a position where you need to be blank again.
So yeah, reset.
Reset.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had Jeremy Gamino, the lender here, the other day, and you know, he said it very clear. This is long term.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, this is for the long wind.
Yep.
Type of business.
This is,
you know,
this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, right now you came across that nasty lady. Maybe not nasty. Maybe she's the sweetest lady in the world.
I think she's just distress.
Right,
that's
yeah,
it.
It's just distress.
It's not personal.
Right. Not, yeah. Nothing personal. And then maybe your next one is like the nicest person.
Yeah,
that and makes you think.
Actually, that was exactly what happened. So, I mean, I hope our student doesn't quit after that. No, he's not going to. But next one, you know, the lady opened the door. Hey, the situation is this and that. The homeowner has, it's current. So you actually gave the information, asked to the lender to do the notice of rescission, so you are not going to have people knocking on your door.
Yeah, get off the list.
Yeah, get off the list, and that's very simple. That would be something that I would say for the lady before, and but she, you know, she was on her mood. But this lady, right after, opened the door. She was very sweet, and it was a very kind conversation. Here's the info. You can call this number. And it's nothing illegal. It's totally legal. It's all your rights, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, just so that is a not accomplishment, but that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Because you were on the door to help solving some problems, right?
Right?
At least the ones that are close enough for us to bring the immediate solution that might be just a phone call away or on the long term.
So, yeah, sometimes they don't know who to call.
Yeah, right? They don't even know they had to call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So simple.
It's so crazy, but it's interesting that, like you said it right now, they don't know they had to call.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. You know, but again, they're just living life, you know.
Based on what they know.
Yeah, you know, they don't know what they don't know. I'm, you know, you took me back to one time, I was door knocking, I went for the follow-up, nicest lady ever. And I gave her some information about the notice of rescission.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went the second time just to see if they had done their homework about their notice, requested the notice of rescission. And by this time she had told her husband about, me coming over there and giving her some information. I remember very clearly, I had a list of 12 properties to door knock that day. That was my very first one because it was just a quick follow-up, and it was in the same spot where I was going to door knock. I never made my other homes. You know, they brought me in, gave me coffee, gave me a whole bunch of treats, gave me,
nice.
I was so high with their coffee, you know, the little cups, the little
espresso.
Yeah, oh my God. And sometimes you find great people.
Yeah.
And they're just like you and I and you listeners, you know, real people having real problems, trying to live a real life that sometimes gets stuck.
Yeah, life happens.
Yeah, and what we do is we try to get them unstuck, right?
Yeah.
Campos, you're in deep thought over there.
Not in deep thought tonight.
Oh, you're tired?
A little bit.
Yeah,
it's yeah, okay.
Wake up.
Wake up, beautiful people.
That got me. No, I think there's just a number of situations, right? Because we're talking about, you know, motivated sellers and such, right? There's just a number of situations out there that we can talk about, you know, as far as, you know, how people or, yeah, homeowners become motivated. One that you and I were working on or are still working on is that inherited property over in Hesperia, mm-hmm. right? She's very motivated because of the situation she's in.
Yeah.
The default taxes and, you know, all that good stuff, the probate and everything else. But it's the conversations and the being able to fix the problem, right, is what's, to me, where the win is also. Right?
Yeah.
Being able to take that monkey off their back, seeing how happy you are, just kind of like what you're saying. But like, you know, making people so happy that they refer you that business, you know, business. That's how we got that one in Hesperia.
Yeah.
And I go back to that particular situation where the lady was about to lose her mobile home and needed a roof and all kinds of stuff. And she didn't know what to do. And she's, you know, by the time I made contact with her, I mean, she was panicking, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it was to the point where she wasn't rude and upset that way. She was more upset about, I'm going to go homeless, you know, I'm not going to have any money in my pocket. And so, you know, what we were able to do for her was, you know, get her out of that situation, take the mobile home off her hands, you know, put some money in her pocket, and she was happier than ever.
Yeah. Right.
So I think some of those things are, you know, just watching out, you know, we say we don't make ourselves part of the story, but we are there to help the situation.
Right.
You know, and in this particular case, it was all about helping her situation to where it made her happy. It made her husband at the time happy, where they were just like, you could just see the relief in their eyes when we closed escrow.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And I think those are the big wins when you're able to get something like that.
They're huge. You know, so when we say don't become part of the story, you become part of their life story, just not the previous chapters. You become a new chapter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That's pretty much just it. You will become part of their story. They will become part of your business stories. Right. But don't put yourself in the emotional roller coaster that they put themselves through.
Exactly.
Because they can very easily take action. Mm-hmm. Or they fall into denial, like your lady.
Yep.
And then if you go into that pit with them, what the fuck? You're just going to sit there. You got coffee. You can smoke. How do we fix this shit up? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it doesn't work out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You almost got to get door knocked on by somebody else.
While you're having coffee with them in the distress, right?
And then if that shit is like really rooted in and you depress someone else, then you have a...
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that my would God. Be some that shit so there, funny. Man. Oh, my God.
Anyways, but we always go on these fucking tangents. But anyways, you know, I think we were trying to talk about distressed properties today.
and motivated sellers,
right? But we did touch on some of the factors that motivate the sellers that cause distress in the properties. So many variables in this business and so many unseen ways of having this distress that you don't get to see or discover until you start engaging in conversation, right? And then that's when you start kind of structuring or realizing if you're of any value to their circumstance or someone in your team has a better card to play for them and get them out of their situation. But this is never ending, man. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on with all these stories and all this data about distressed properties and motivated sellers.
Right.
We do go into depth about this in our Finding Your Leads book, right? Or the Anatomy of Leads and how to stack distress, how, you know, the motivation levels in properties, because sometimes just as much as people don't know that they're supposed to call, they don't know that there's something else hidden.
Right.
You know, in a lien, in a judgment, in a credit card that they forgot or whatever it is. And then when you bring that to the forefront, it creates further more distress. So now they know that they got to clean that up. But anyways, closing statements. Danny?
No, just, I mean, it's a hard time for many people out there, and they are just be human when they're knocking people's door, because that situation.
Respectful,
Respectful, at least the most you can.
Yeah.
It is the truth.
Don't get triggered.
Yeah, don't think it's personal.
Yeah, no.
This is one thing that I do. I reset every time. It's not personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. It's just that moment. It might be better on the next day or another day on the next follow-up. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So just don't take as a personal. And never quit it. Never quit never it. It's just part it. Of the job.
Never quit it, beautiful people.
Wake up.
Oh, my God. Campos, closing.
The same. I mean, just don't let any of this discourage you, you know? It's this, but you know what? At the end of the day, this wasn't meant to be easy either, right?
No.
It's just not.
Everybody be doing it.
Exactly. So keep that in mind, guys. But, you know, with the big problems comes the big paycheck as well.
Right? Yeah, you know what? When I said everybody would be doing it, I did this to myself one time, and maybe everybody should, right? I have immediate family, uncles and cousins. I counted 105.
Wow.
Okay. 105 immediate. Okay. First cousins and uncles. I'm the only one doing real estate investing.
Yeah.
Wow.
One out of 105. That's my immediate circle. So if it'd be easy.
105 of you guys be doing it.
At least another one would be doing it.
Or maybe 10.
Or maybe at least fucking 30% of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So do that to your circle. And then just understand that it was meant, like you said, it wasn't meant to be easy.
Not at all. Not at all.
Right. But anyways, I mean, it was a quick, awesome little powwow. Ready to go home.
Yeah, it's time.
All right. So let's close. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok.
MySpace.
No, get on MySpace.
Say hi to Tom. And don't forget, guys, if you want to know what we do and how we do it, hit us up at info@becomeaninvestor.com. And hit those like buttons, guys. Give us those 5 stars.
Five stars.
Five stars. Buenas noches.
Night.
Buenas noches.